The following message by Shane Sowers is brought to you by Central Baptist Church, Aurora, Colorado. www.cbcaurora.com.
It's kind of loud, so I'm only going to do it for the introduction. A guy, a philosopher by the name of Albert Camus, I'm sure many of you have probably heard of him. He was a French atheistic philosopher. He was an author and he was a journalist. And he made famous the philosophical ideology known as absurdism. In his book, you may have heard of the book, it's called The Myth of Sisyphus. He describes the normal routine of many people. Now tell me if this sounds familiar, if it sounds like life. He says, rising or waking up, streetcar. 4 hours in the office or the factory. The meal, streetcar. 4 hours of work, meal, sleep, then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, according to the same rhythm. He describes we are born, then the merry-go-round or treadmill of life, and then we die. He declares that life is absolutely absurd. Absurd. Round and round and round we go. Where we stop, nobody knows. It's the same old, same old. We are just running around in circles like a treadmill over and over again. Some people will say, in life I feel just like a hamster on the wheel. I just can't ever get ahead. I've heard people say things like, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. The more things change, the more things stay the same. We would say about life what, I don't know, maybe if you were in my generation, you would know what this means, but we would say about life what Keith Sweat sang about his girlfriend. Merry go round and round. Round and round we go. Does it seem like in our world today that we just can't seem to get ahead? Some of us will say we do the same thing every day and we just cannot seem to progress. Kind of like walking on a treadmill. Are we frustrated today? We as Christians, even as Christians, we seem to experience the same day-to-day drudgery that we finish today and know that we will do it again tomorrow. And you know, sometimes I feel like even as Christians, we struggle with this idea. We struggle with this concept. We struggle with frustration. And I wonder sometimes if we do this because what happens is we tend to try to walk in both worlds. We try to walk with a biblical worldview, but then at times we start to take on what we will refer to as the secular worldview. And then we become frustrated more and more. See, I think we as Christians, what we need to do is we need to be aware of how much trust we put in the horizontal and the times that we neglect our relationship with God in the vertical, spending our time worshiping Him. And a good friend of mine, a good Christian friend of mine actually, he worked for the post office in Hawaii. And when I was working on this and preparing for the sermon, this whole idea kind of popped into my mind. He talks about that saying, you know, people will use that saying like this guy just went postal, you know, because post office employees tend to go crazy, especially during the holiday. And I asked him, I said, why is that? Why do you think that happens? And he says, during the holidays, it's like the mail just keeps coming. And I can see his face even twitching while he's telling me this. The mail just keeps coming, and you just spent all day sorting it, all day doing this stuff, and bags of it just keep coming. No matter how hard we work, no matter how hard we try, it just keeps coming. We feel like that sometimes in this world. Seem like there's no progression. Same thing over and over again. It's kind of like how many of us would even say that we feel today. We feel like life is walking on a treadmill. And I've walked and walked. I feel it. I can feel sweat beads on my back already. And I have not moved 5 feet. It's like a treadmill. Even as Christians, we find ourselves trusting in the things of the world instead of trusting in Christ. And once again, we find that the world is not giving us what it promised. And the world promises so much, but yet again, it's not giving us what it promised. Because the world cannot fulfill. No matter how much we get, we are never content. It's never enough. Life under the sun without Christ is going to feel like walking on a treadmill. Family, without Christ, round and round life will go. And we will walk for miles and we will be in the same place that we started. So let's take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and then turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the sea. Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, "Here's something new," but actually, it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in the future generations, no one will remember what we are doing right now. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth, and we thank you for the light. God, today I pray that you continue to help us to see, help us to hear what it is that you desire us to see and hear. Father, we know the shortcomings of the world, but Father, it's so hard for us that we just keep getting distracted. We just keep getting pulled away from what we know to be true. And so, God, I just pray that you continue to help us to be transformed by the power of your word, transformed by the power of your spirit. Renew our minds today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing we're going to explore today is we're going to look at this good, key, rhetorical question that's asked by the preacher, that's asked by Koheleth. And just really quick, just to remind everybody, I am coming up here and I'm doing props. The props isn't just to have fun or try to be postmodern or anything like that. It's just trying to help you to remember. Because every time you guys went to the store last week or even saw it in somebody's house, when you guys saw a humidifier, you guys thought vanity of vanities, didn't you? Well, hopefully now, every time you go to the gym, every time you walk into somebody's house and they have a treadmill that's got clothes on it, that you will remember the story and this chapter today and the question that he asks, what does man gain with all his hard work under the sun. That it'll help us to remember that life without Christ is simply a treadmill. That second thing we're going to look at is we're going to look at this vivid illustration that he gives about the world, about creation, about the sun, about the wind, about water. And the third thing we're going to see is how things tend to repeat itself. And that's why we will say that there's nothing new under the sun. And finally, we're going to see how our Lord Jesus came into this world with the intention of making all things new. And that's our Lord and Savior that we worship and praise today and every day. So our thesis statement or our sentence today is, though sin and the pattern of this world cause us to be focused and distracted by what the world promises to offer, but it is the truth of Scripture and the power of the Holy Spirit that opens our eyes and our ears to behold the love and work of Christ does indeed make all things new, even here under the sun. So, number one, the good question. The rhetorical question, he asks a rhetorical question. And this rhetorical question that's asked by the preacher, it serves as a clue to understanding the, like I said last week, the introductory conclusion of the book of Ecclesiastes. See, he begins with what we call a rhetorical question. What is a rhetorical question? It's a question that's asked in order to create dramatic effect, to make a point rather than trying to get an answer. So when people ask rhetorical questions, they're not actually asking you to answer the question. It's a rhetorical question, right? I mean, my parents did that all the time, you know, especially when it was time for us to get disciplined. Rhetorical questions were asked all the time. They don't expect you to answer when they ask you, what is wrong with you? Have you lost your mind? What were you doing? You're not supposed to answer. The minute you answer, it's just like, I am not asking you to answer the question. I don't want to hear another word come out of your mouth. Do you hear me? It's confusing. Rhetorical questions. He desires to draw us into this exploration. The author desires to draw us in to get us to go on this journey with him. To go on this journey. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 3. Ecclesiastes 1, 3. What do people get? Some of your translations will say gain. Some of your translations will say profit. For all their hard work under the sun. What do we get? What do we gain? Gain. You know, it's interesting here that Solomon here uses the Hebrew word hetron. It is a commercial term. It's actually a commercial term, and it's ordinarily used for conversations or discussions involving business. It's interesting here, business, because it refers to something that's left after all expenses were paid. So if you own a business, if you're thinking about owning a business, or you know, if you've gone to school and had to take math, we call this thing a profit, right? What's our profit margin? It's understood as making a profit. So what is essentially happening here is Solomon is saying, what does it profit? What is your profit? What is the gain? What do you actually get that puts you ahead, puts you in a situation that you were in better than you were before? What is this? What do we gain? Essentially, what Solomon is saying here is it all worth it? Huh, think about it. Is it all worth it? Isn't that not what we ask when it comes to working a job? You know, somebody gives you a job offer. Hey, we'd like you to come work here, and this is our offer. and they give you a number as to how much they're going to pay you an hour, right? Or how much your salary is going to be, and you ask yourself the question, is it all worth it? You know, you start to think, well, you know, you make this much an hour, you make that much an hour, you know, am I worth, you know, that much an hour? Am I worth, I think I'm worth more than this much an hour. You know, what I like to do a lot of times as a pastor, and you should never do this, you should just never do this when you're in ministry, but you look at how much time you actually put in your job, and then you take your salary, and then you find out what you make hourly. All right, so we ask the question, is it worth it? Is it worth my time? Now, here's the beauty about being in ministry. We are not here because of the money. That ends everything. Okay, we're not here because of the money. All right, if it were, I would have become a professional basketball player like I thought I would. Is it worth it? Is it worth our time? Because we have this idea in our minds that, hey, you know what? If I just work a little bit harder, I will be able to get more. I will be able to gain more. If I just work harder and harder, I will be able to get more. But the question is rhetorical. Because Solomon is showing us something here. We already know the answer to this question. We already do. What do we gain or what do we profit for all of our hard work under the sun? The preacher is saying, nothing. That's why he's asking the question. He's saying, nothing. No matter how hard we work under the sun, we will not really ever gain anything. Not really. You know why? Because we will always want more. That's our problem. That's what happens, right? It's just like you work really hard and you finally get the raise. And I'm talking about no, you know, 25-cent raise. We're talking about the big raise. Now you're making $1,000 more a month. And then what starts to happen is we're making more money, so we get more things. We start doing more subscriptions. We start ordering things that we see on TV that we used to let pass by before. We're ordering these things, and the next thing we know, we're just making ends meet, and guess what we need again? Another raise. Because, family, we always want more. This is essentially what Solomon is saying. This is the reason why we can't ever get ahead, because we always want more. It's like walking on a treadmill. We're getting nowhere. And you know what blows me away? What blows me away is sometimes we could even feel like we lost more than we've gained. How many of y'all have ever felt that way? Felt like, you know, it's like, Shane, yeah, you know, you're talking about life and you're talking about losing all of these things, you know, or not gaining all of these things in life. Well, you know what? If you look at my life, it's not about not getting ahead. It's like I'm worse off than I was before. So instead, you know, you're talking about walking on a treadmill. My life, it's not walking on a treadmill. I'm walking backwards. And we feel like we've lost more than we've gained. And some people will say, well, I made investments because I wanted to gain. I wanted to have a higher profit margin. But then, you know, here I am later, and I've actually have less money than I did before. I've lost. A rich man, he was determined to give his mother a birthday present that would outshine all birthday presents, outshine all the others. And so he read about a bird. It was a bird that they were talking about. He read about a bird that had a vocabulary of 4,000 words. 4,000 words. It could speak in numerous languages and sing three operas. He immediately decided that he was going to buy the bird. So he bought the bird for $50,000. And he gave it to his mother, sent it to his mother for her birthday. The next day, he gave her a phone call to see if she'd received the bird. He said, "What do you think of the bird?" he asked. She replied, "It was delicious." You think you take a step forward, but instead you take two steps back. You ever say that? You ever feel like that, or even said that in life, where it's just like every time, you know, I think I remember saying this to my wife once, every time I work really hard to take a step forward, immediately after that, I take two steps back. I just can't get ahead. And not only do I not feel like I can't get ahead, I feel like I'm actually walking backwards. Not just walking on a treadmill, it's like walking backwards. What do we gain, family? That's what he's saying. What do we gain? What do we gain under the sun? Nothing. Under the sun, family, is understood as under heaven, which essentially means this world. What do we gain in this world? Number two, talk about this thing called the circle of life. Circle of life. Now, everyone has a different way of understanding it. Obviously, the way I'm going to talk about the circle of life is going to be different from the way Disney describes the circle of life in The Lion King. We're talking about the circle of life. Why do we demand a profit for all of our works? Why do we demand a surplus for all of the work that we do? Do you realize everything else in creation doesn't? This is essentially what Solomon is saying. We hear all the time of our advancements. We hear all the time of our progress, our economic development, our technological advances. That's our big one. Our evolutionary improvements. But family, you know what it is? It's all an illusion. It's ultimately what Solomon is saying. Look at all of human progress, and it's all an illusion. We think we've taken a step forward, but family, all we have is just essentially stayed the same. And it's the way. You know, with all the new technology, if we really think about it, we haven't really progressed. I mean, I think of the stories that you hear about the first time they invented the telegraph, right? And how people reacted and how people responded and how it was going to revolutionize and change the world. It doesn't sound much different than the first time I got my first mobile phone. Do you guys remember those mobile phones? Like, it's not the slimline, sleek. The thing looked, what's that? The brick, yeah, brick. And then the buttons were hard to push, you know. And it was just like, oh man, I got a great rate on this. Yeah, it's like $15 a minute. Remember that? It's just, you know, and here's the thing I always think about, like, people will be like, well, Shane, you know, I disagree with what Solomon is saying. I disagree with this because, you know, I look at travel, you know, how we travel and how we can, you know, get there and how, you know, before they couldn't travel, you know, but now we've got airplanes and we got all this stuff. And I'm just like, yeah, I know we've got different things that we have when it comes to travel, but it really hasn't changed anything. Well, what do you mean it hasn't changed anything? Because, well, if you were in California and you were going to go to Hawaii, you could get on a boat, you know, and it would take you like 2 weeks to get from California, you know, to Hawaii. Okay, fine. Now it takes 5 hours on a plane to get there. But we're still getting to the destination, and you know what? We are still upset that it took so long. Right? We're still upset. It took 5 hours to get here. You know, it's just, I'm thinking back like, you know, a few hundred years before, you know, it's just like, I can't believe it. It took 2.5 weeks to get here. 2.5 weeks. It's the same thing, family. Same thing. Round and round we go. This is the circle of life. And you know, it's customary for us to think of the next generation of people in the sense of progress. A lot of times when you read about generations and you read about young people, you know, we believe that children are our future. You know, and this is what we have in our minds, that the next generation is going to be able to accomplish much more than we did. They're going to be able to go beyond where we've gone. They're going to be able to do more than we have ever dreamed. These guys are going to change the world. And it could seem like an endless procession of people coming and going into the world, and we've seen it for thousands and thousands of years, and you know what? The earth remains the same. The earth doesn't change. Remains the same. It's like a circle. Nothing changes in the world. Round and round we go. St. Jerome had a commentary on this. I thought this was amazing. He says, "What is more vain than this vanity? That the earth, which was made for humans, stays, but humans themselves, the lords of the earth, suddenly dissolve into dust." Generations come, generations go, but the earth remains the same. Well, how about the sun? He says the sun rises, the sun sets. Even the daily journey of the sun actually seems pointless. Around and around it goes. It doesn't actually end up anywhere. You know, a lot of times when we want to nourish our souls, you know, we want to take some time because we need some serenity in our life, and we'll just look at nature. We'll go, some of you will go to the mountains, right? We'll go to the mountains and we'll look at, you know, we'll look at nature. We'll look at all of creation. Well, that's what Solomon did. And he looks at the sun and all he sees is monotony. Rises and sets like a circle. And what about the wind? He brings up the wind. What about the wind? The wind shows us the very same thing. It fails to accomplish any more than the sun. Sun rises and sets. Well, the wind blows this way, it blows that way, and it follows its customary currents. It blows past, and then it comes back again, around and around and around it goes, following its circular course and never ever reaching a destination. For all its constant movement, constantly moving, it never goes anywhere, like a circle. What about water and rivers that flow into the sea? When he talks about water flowing and flowing again, now he's not describing water in which the water evaporates into the clouds and eventually returns to water, you know, in the form of rain. He's not talking about that. Rather, what the preacher, Koheleth, Solomon, what he's saying and what he's talking about is how rivers and streams flow forever, it seems, into the sea. Rivers flow forever into the sea. And you know, there's a vivid example of this where Koheleth lived, where Solomon lived. The Dead Sea. Think about the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is landlocked. Landlocked. Has no outlet to another body of water. Now think about this. For centuries, centuries, the Jordan River has been flowing into the Dead Sea. For centuries, it's been flowing into the Dead Sea, yet the sea is not full. Think about that. That river is going to the Dead Sea, and it never fills up. The sea is not yet full, and water continues to flow, just like a circle. Life, family, a lot of ways, it's the same way, isn't it? It's the same way. Everything seems to be in a rut. Things seem to be stuck. Where is the progress? Where is the profit in life? Many of us can spend our whole lives working for one company, making all of these sacrifices. And what do you gain for the end of the toil? I mean, this is one thing that I've seen that has happened recently, that's happening more and more. I remember my grandparents, when they were retiring from their jobs, they got these huge parties, they got these huge celebrations, they got Rolex watches from companies when they retired. I don't hear about that stuff anymore. Right? Back then, at least you could say, hey, the company's going to throw me a party and give me a Rolex watch. You can't even say that anymore. You may get the customary buy, the plaque, they'd spelled your name wrong. Right? Retire, all this stuff. All these days, all these times, all this sacrifice, all this work. No, we can even say this is pretty clear even when it comes to the house, just living at home. What do we have to show for all the work that we did at home? There's always meals to prepare. There's always floors to clean. And here's the big one. There is always more clothes to wash. Right? Doesn't it seem like clothes just never ends? It's like you worked so hard to clean out the dirty clothes, and it's just like it feels like just moments later you lift it up and there it is again. One of the kids threw something in there. It goes, and the circle continues. Dr. Ian Provan, excellent Old Testament scholar, he writes this. Why do you imagine that a surplus for the puny individual is a realistic aim, when creation itself, in all its awesome mystery and complexity beyond moral grasping, is not ordered to produce a surplus, though its toil is content, as it were, to go on with its tasks endlessly and cyclically in consistency with its nature? Creation goes on. Man, creation, the sun, the wind, the water, they work harder than any of us. And they don't produce a surplus. They don't produce a profit. And they are plenty content with what they have. And so it is with our nature. We just won't accept it. Man, we don't like this, and we don't like it at all. The preacher continues to argue his point. This is where it gets heavy. So get ready. Here we go. He's saying that there is nothing new. Nothing new. The wind, if the sun, if the wind and the rivers, if all of these things, if they have nothing to show for their endless labor, if they have nothing, sun, wind, all of that stuff. If they have nothing to show for their labor, what can we actually expect? What will we ever gain in this life? He's saying, there's no satisfaction. No satisfaction to any of this. Now, this is a setup for the next couple of weeks. No satisfaction. Our eyes are not satisfied. Our ears are never satisfied. We become weary, tired, even bored with what we see and what we hear all the time. We don't like the same old, been there, done that. We're seeing today and we're hearing today, or even things last year. Think about things that we saw and things that we heard last year. Weren't they more amazing and more awesome than things that we saw and heard even 10 years before? And here's the amazing things. The amazing things that we saw last year, we're bored of it now. We're bored of it. We got Netflix, YouTube TV, iPods, iPads, iPhones, Androids. We've got all kinds of things to stimulate the eyes and the ears and the senses of people. Even with all of the stuff that we have, our eyes and our ears want more. It's just never enough. There's always one more show to watch. There's always one more song to listen. There's always one more game to play. It's always just one more. It's always one more stage. One more thing. One more text. One more tweet. One more Facebook post. One more Instagram. Just one more. And then it starts again tomorrow, unsatisfied. Satisfaction. We just can't get any. It's like walking on a treadmill. And you know what? Here's the other thing. Solomon continues with this. Solomon continues to go with this, and he proves all of this with this simple thing called history. All right, just really quick. How many of you guys actually liked history in school? Oh, cool. How many of you guys like absolutely despised history in school? All right, a couple honest people. All right. History. And I've said this before, I'm going to say it again, because history repeats itself. This is what I'm going to say. If there is one thing we learn from history, is that we don't learn from history. One thing we learn from history is that we don't learn from history. That is why history is always repeating itself. We see the same issues, the same struggles all throughout history. Nations rise, nations fall, even fall for the same exact reasons. But you know what's amazing? Human nature stays the same. Like walking on a treadmill. There are times of war. There are times of peace. But even in peacetime, we know that war is coming again. Even in times of plenty, in times of want, even in times during plenty, we know that eventually there's going to be times of want. Do we do anything about that? Do we do anything to prepare? It's kind of like walking on a treadmill. You know, even in church history, when you look at church history, we see the same kinds of developments. Do you realize in church history, we today have the same exact heresies that the church faced in the first century? Do you realize that they're still here? Even when it comes to doctrine, you know, when I was a lot younger and I was more idealistic, you know, I used to study the scriptures and I used to feel like I found new things. You know, I found new doctrines. You know, and I remember calling up my mentor and I said, hey, you know, I just spent like the last, you know, 2 years in an in-depth study in the book of Revelation and I figured out what the issue is. I figured out what the answer is. Man, I have got it. And I started to explain to him the whole idea of this book. And he goes, yeah, you know what? What you need to do is you need to go get this book. It was a book written hundreds of years before, basically saying the same thing. There is nothing new under the sun. But then he says here, but someone might suggest something new. Someone may say, hey, just like I did, here is something new. And what does Solomon say? But it's not. I'm like, you know, looking at things, and I got a great idea. I'm asking people here in the church, you know, let's get some of our money together and let's invest some things in this thing that I think is new. I'm like looking at people that, you know, wearing and walking around and they got pants and stuff like that, and it's just plain. You know what I think we should do? What we need to do is we need to come up with something new. I thought of something new. What we need to do is we need to make pants that right about here starts to flare out a little bit. Flare out, then flare out a little bit. You know, and then when we're walking, you know, it just kind of swings and bangs around. Kind of like bells, maybe. That's awesome. Nobody does it. It's something new, right? Some of you guys are thinking, I still have a pair in my closet. And then, family, here's the thing. Even if we think, even if it was a possibility, you know, we don't remember things in the past. A lot of times I wonder in our society today if we even care about things that happened in the past. It's like we suffer from historical amnesia. We wonder, I wonder if some of the things that we're actually doing in society today, I wonder, would we be doing these things if we remembered the sacrifices and hardships of the generations before us? But I think we forget. And here's the thing. All that we've accumulated will be lost. And what we've accomplished today is going to be forgotten. Oh yeah, we need to know our descendants, they're not going to remember. They're not going to remember us any better than we remember our ancestors. This is why we can't progress in life. This is why life is like a treadmill. This is why there is nothing new. This is why Solomon is essentially saying, the more things change, the more things stay the same. So the last thing, Solomon says here, there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing. Nothing new under the sun. History merely repeats itself. Okay, this isn't working. All history is doing is repeating itself, and there is nothing new. And Dr. Provan, he actually gives us a clue. He gives us a really, really good clue here. And this is what's going to help us today as we start to close here. He says, the universe is not designed to enable gain to happen. And I know there's people in this world. I know that, you know, there's, one individual. There's a lot of teachings that we're seeing on TV about the universe, right? The universe giving us what it is that we desire, what it is that we need. One of the big proponents is a very famous TV personality. I don't want to mention her name, but her name rhymes with Ropra. He's saying here, the universe is not designed to enable gain to happen. And those who attempt to fly in the face of reality can only ever know grief and frustration in the end. Because the world is content in its circle. Creation is content with its lack of gain. The universe was not designed to bring us gain. The universe was designed to declare the glory of God. That's why there's frustration. That's why we have an issue. Because gain is not the purpose of creation, that's us included. Our purpose is worshiping and glorifying our God. That's why we're here. That's what all of this thing is here. That's what creation gets. That's what we see in the scriptures, that all creation declares the majesty and the glory of God. And we can get so caught up in trying to get ahead that we start to look back at our life and realize that we have been running and we have been chasing, all standing on a treadmill. Life is just a treadmill without God. We forget what we were created for. Family, we were created to glorify Christ. Family, sin confuses us. There's confusion, there's distortion, and nothing else. Family, in this created world, you know, nothing else in the created world is so caught up with gain like humans are. Think about it. Look at creation. Look at the plants and the animals. Look at it. They're not caught up with gain. They're not caught up with surplus like we as humans are. The sun is content. The wind is content. The rivers are content. But we continue to live our lives, to try to keep our lives away from living in trust of God, away from the real reason why we're here. Do you realize, family? I mean, if you think about it, I was thinking about this just a couple days ago. We're like the only creatures in this whole universe not worshiping God. You think about that? That just dawned on me. I'm out there, you know, at the reservoir with my son trying to catch fish. You know, when you don't catch fish, you start to think and ponder things. What are the only things in creation not worshiping God? Not glorifying God. We're just not content with God. We're not content with Christ. And not only are we unable to take steps forward without Christ, but because we reject him, we take steps backwards. Let's go back to the illustration with the guy who bought the bird for his mom. Remember, sometimes we feel like in life that it's not that I can't get forward. The problem is I just feel like I'm going backwards. I feel like I'm losing things. I feel like I'm lost. This is what sin has done to us. When we sin, we fell into rebellion, understanding that what... We got to understand what is meant by the knowledge of good and evil. Do you understand foundationally what that actually means? It means now we have the desire to decide what is good and what is bad for ourselves. Essentially, the fall is one huge thing. We want independence from God. It's not all humanity. It's all sin, all evil, everything that we see in this world. It's all desiring to be independent from God. We don't want to trust God. So we're desiring for profit. We're desiring progress. We're desiring to store up manna because we don't want to trust and we don't want to be content. But we're never going to get past living the life of a treadmill without trust in God. So family, Koheleth is giving us a clue. We are to live life fully trusting the Lord in everything, in all things. Every piece of our lives, every decision we make, every move that we make, every breath that we take, everything that we have, everything we do, we're supposed to be trusting in God in all of those things. Not being lost on a treadmill, not being lost in the circle of life, not being lost living a life without hope, not being lost chasing vanity upon vanities, looking and hearing and never being satisfied with nothing new at all. Family, this is the beauty of our Lord Jesus today. He is the only one who could truly do what he said. And what did he say in Revelation chapter 21:5? Revelation 21:5. And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." Solomon is showing us there's nothing in this world that's new. Nothing. And if you really think about it, you realize that there's nothing new. But here our Lord is saying something extraordinary. I am making everything new. And I always kind of wonder, and just think about this, right? Because what is Solomon saying in this book? Everything is meaningless. All is vanity. And Christ is saying, I am going to make everything new. He is truly coming to make a new heavens and a new earth. But right now, he desires to give us all new hearts. In Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, Ezekiel 36, 26, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Christian, today, Christ has given us new hearts. Today, Christian, Christ has given us new spirits. We, Christians, are the only people in this world that can actually say, here's something new, and actually be right. Because Christ made new hearts, gave us new spirits. Family, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Life without Christ is not only one of meaninglessness, but it's also one of condemnation. Our souls are in jeopardy today. What does this mean? Not only are we unable to take a step forward, we take two steps backwards. And we keep taking two steps backwards. And Christ said it himself, that a single soul, you think about this, every person in here, your soul, your spirit, that everything in this world is not even worth one soul. What does he mean by that? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 26, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? You know, notice what Jesus said here. Gain the whole world. Do you know what Jesus is saying right there? That everything in this world, all of this, all of creation, the universe, even if you had it all, it's not worth your soul. We worry about what we will gain from our work, but Christ is telling us that even if you have it all, it's not worth your soul. Our Lord Jesus knew this. Our Heavenly Father knew this. That's why it's a privilege for me to tell you the good news today. Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Jesus did not come just to give us life. He desires to bring life more abundant. Newness of life. Even walking on a treadmill. More than we could ever ask or imagine. Because if you have Christ in your life, even if you were walking on the treadmill, that every step you take, you would be like, oh, I'm not going anywhere. Yeah, you may not be going anywhere, but every step you take is glorifying God. And that's why we can do the things that we do as Christians today. Christ is alive, sitting at the right-hand throne of the Father. There is forgiveness for us today. The Bible promises that all who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. There's salvation for us today. Not even the entire world is enough to compensate for the loss of one eternal soul. Not one. So what do we gain for all the circle of life things that we do under the sun? If we're looking to make a profit on a treadmill, we should not live for what this world seems to offer. Family, but only for the everlasting gain that we get that comes from trusting in Jesus for this free gift of eternal life and life more abundant. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. For more information about Central Baptist Church, go to www.cbcaurora.com.